All right, welcome to another WaitingForNextYear.com podcast. It's a Spaeth cast.
Is this real?
2001, A Spaeth Odyssey.
Are you doing it for real?
I'm doing it for real.
Oh, okay.
In person. He's live in person in my house. And once upon a time, you and I were going to do podcasts, and I was thinking of all kinds of different names for it, and they all just, it was the same joke. It was just Spaeth equals space. So Spaeth Jam.
They all brought up... very torturous memories of childhood when I would get teased for my name, Space.
Did it really bother you? Was it torture?
No, it was kind of cool. I mean, it was good. It was good because it was a fun last name to have and a fun. You know, it's not like it was like Wiener or something a last name. I mean, no, for real. I mean, I have a friend whose last name is Wiener, and like he doesn't even like to tell people his last name because he's still to this day, he's in his 50s. To this day, he gets bothered by it. So.
Wouldn't you change it at some point?
He started pronouncing it Weiner, which is, you know, that's not that great either.
Well, that's like the old Thiesman.
Right.
Because he wanted to rhyme with Heisman or whatever.
Right. This feels very different.
Springsteen like instead of Springstein.
This is a very intense way to podcast.
Well, you know, you could have gone like Pete and brought some wine.
That's actually on my list.
Yeah, wait, it's before we start.
Yes.
Brian brought a list of things that he wanted to try. I think we should try the first thing without actually telling everybody what you're doing.
Oh, okay.
So why don't you...
Well, Craig, I look at your podcast. I don't always listen to your podcast, okay?
Okay.
I'm honest about that. They're very long. You know, I have a problem with that. I mean, when I put it on double time on iTunes, which is very helpful if you don't do it, it's just sometimes – also, the subject matter doesn't always appeal to me. I don't care about the Browns draft. There's nothing I could care about less. But I always read the show notes to see if there's things I should skip ahead and listen to, and then I'll do that, okay? So I looked at the show notes. The show notes are so detailed and, like, so, like, intricate. And then I looked at the show notes for my last podcast. It's literally – all it said was, I don't remember what we talked about. Those were the show notes.
Well, and I'm trying to, it sounds kind of self-important, but I'm trying to make this thing somewhat artistic. Like, we're talking about sports, we're talking about goofy stuff. I don't want to plan too much. I don't want it to feel like a formula. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, I like your podcast. I think it's really, it's just when you talk about sports, I don't care. And but when you talk about the other stuff, I especially like when you talk about like social media and just life in general. I really I like that stuff. So I think it's good. I think the more you deviate, the better you'll be. The more you can branch out and dominate the Cleveland audio programming.
Well, and the first time I ever met you in person, we goofed around online. I didn't know what to make of you. I thought you were weird. You wanted to blog for my insurance office, which was really strange. But then I met you for the first time at the Cleveland Browns draft party at the Map Room.
Yes.
And from that point on, I think I pitched you the podcast thing right on the first time we ever met in person, because I've always had dreams of being able to do this, mm-hmm. and have somebody actually pay me and make it worth my while.
Right.
And so at least now I get you a couple episodes a month.
I love it. I like doing it. Here's what I really think your podcast is good. I also think you have a very professional setup here. I think it's nice. I think that you're ready to branch out. And here's how you should do it. Do you want my advice?
I'm terrified and right. No, I'm not terrified. I just all said right. that.
It but. Is time for you to start talking to perhaps people, notable chefs in town about their new restaurants. Why don't you try and call the mayor? Call the mayor. Get the mayor on your show. Get Frank Jackson on your show. You are broadcast through a powerful website, mm-hmm. that gets high readership, all Cleveland people. I don't know what your podcast numbers are. Apparently you don't either, according mm-hmm. to Pete.
iTunes does not give you a lot of information. We're not signed up for one of those fancy hosting services that tells us.
Right.
Which is the worst way to market for advertisers and sponsors, by the way.
Right. But he's got, you could say, hey, Mayor Jackson, like, I've got a big Cleveland listenership. I'd like a half hour of your time. I think now you're expanding outside of the hardcore sports fan. Now you can up those those listenership numbers, then, you know, now you've got something that maybe you can sell some advertising on.
So what you're saying is I need a booker.
Yes, you need a producer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't argue with that. I would love, it would mean I'd have to do more show prep for, because you know, the bigger the guest, the more high profile, you want to maintain that same style, but yeah. I'd have to do some show prep.
Yeah. Well, a little bit. That's all right. I don't think you mind doing that. Plus, if you start making money at it, I think you'll feel it's more worth the time. Although I don't see you as a particularly money hungry person. I think you enjoy the process of making a profit.
Well, I like to do the work first. Obviously, you know, I'm a blogger.
Yeah.
And now I've taken on this podcast thing, so I'm not afraid to work before the money shows up.
Right. That's right. Well, no, sure. I mean, obviously, we've worked on a bunch of things now. So you know, obviously, you're a risk taker and a creative person and a very smart financial person. But I think this show has a lot of potential.
All right. Well, I think that's good advice. Okay. I'm not sure how to conclude this part of the conversation, but we have worked together on a lot of things.
Yes.
And because this isn't live, I figured, you know, we might as well tell everybody what number one is on your list. You and I did a children's cartoon.
Yes.
Based on your previous work as the Turtle Caller.
Yes.
Turtle Calls.
Yes.
And now you've brought Turtle Calls back.
Yes.
Because as Brian put it to me, and this is the most simple answer in the world, I missed calling people as a turtle.
I did. I missed, here's the thing. I write mostly. That's mostly my thing. Right now I'm editing a film that you're also involved with. So, but that also is a very solitary activity. Okay.
Sure.
So my job is to get up and go to my desk or to go to Starbucks or to go to one of these work share spaces and be by myself. And Turtle Calls gave me the opportunity to talk to a whole bunch of people every day that I don't know, which was really fun. And
unscripted.
Yeah, unscripted, just totally. And it was a good, obviously, it's a good creative endeavor. I mean, you have to have completely blind, unsolicited conversations with people pretending to be a turtle. That's a nice challenge to take on, you know, 20 or 30 times in a row to keep that energy up.
Well, and other people might not realize this, but you as an artist, a lot of people probably think you're just some kind of goofball. But you actually think in the turtle voice a lot.
I do, yeah. Oh, yeah. I when I get on the call, I have no idea what I'm going to say. I don't know what's happening at all. You've seen when we did those recordings.
Oh, Brian takes on I'm just letting everybody know that you take it seriously. You take on the character.
Yeah.
and you become the turtle. And I know it sounds awful, pretentious, and silly maybe, but you know, if you're going to do it, you might as well take it seriously. And I'm a firsthand witness that Brian takes it all very seriously, even the really silly stuff.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, you're one of the most insulted I've ever been, like at least in the recent past that I can remember. I don't know if I've ever told you this story or not. I had this, I have the thing on the Turtle Call site that says franchising opportunities. It's a total joke.
I didn't know you had that.
Yeah. If you look on the site, it says franchising opportunities. And it's written out. It says like, you know, if you have an animal that you'd like to call people and pretend to be, you know, I can set you up.
Kind of like Gallagher.
Yeah. Like I can set you up the whole system and, you know, it's all like A to Z. Like it's turnkey. So this guy actually emailed me.
It's turnkey.
It's turnkey.
That's like somebody who sells vending machine businesses. Yeah. They're like turnkey business.
Exactly.
For sale.
Like, just for $5,000, I'll get you set up.
Or how the Amway people get you to a coffee shop to pitch you.
Yeah, exactly. It could not be simpler. So anyway, this guy emails me. He was from LA and he was a stand-up comedian. And he explained what he wanted to do was he wanted to do something called Owen Wilson Calls. And he was going to call people and pretend to be Owen Wilson. And so he did his Owen Wilson impression, which was fine. But he only had like three different things he could say. He would just be like, oh, yeah, I'm Owen Wilson. Meh. Oh, look at my nose. Meh. Like, it was like that. And I was like, well, okay. I mean, if you want to do it, like, seriously, like, you know, give me $5,000. I'll give you my whole system.
Well, and people don't realize that an impression, the best impressionists in the world, I mean, you look at Kevin Pollak, Jay Moore, those guys are so brilliant at their impressions because they do material. As the person they're doing an impression of. It's not just that they can go, hey, my name is, my name is Kevin Pollak.
They're not doing it. I mean, like, look at Will Ferrell's George Bush. It's not even really anything like George Bush. It just somehow catches the essence of him.
And he does material as George Bush and things that George Bush would say.
Yeah. And it's not just like repeating lines. I mean, anybody could just, well, we see it all the time when people say, look at my George, but Dwight Howard does it all the time. Like, look at my Charles Barkley. And he just repeats something that Charles Barkley said once, you know?
Right.
It's not really an impression. So anyway, so this guy goes on and on and on telling me how great his Owen Wilson calls will be and all these things and how I, you know.
Wait. LA stand-up, this wasn't Jay Moore, was it?
No, it wasn't.
Okay, because I figure he could start the business himself.
He could. I mean, I think he has the resources and the talent. He could do his Christopher Walken calls.
Right. I'm sure it would be a wild success.
Yeah, I'm sure it would. But anyway, beyond the fact that I'm thinking to this guy, like, look, I don't know how many people would be that amused to get a call from Owen Wilson. I just it's weird. Not everyone even knows who he is, you know?
Says the guy who calls as Don Cheadle.
Yes, this is true. That's a good point. But that's a subcategory of the turtle, and everyone knows what turtles are. Right. Anyway, so this guy says, he's like, well, you know, he's trying to pump me up on how great this is going to be. And he goes, you know, I just think that this could be really good because, you know, what I want to do, like, which is different from what you want to do, is like mine takes actual talent.
Oh, wow. And you're not much of a confrontational, I like to fight guy.
No.
But I'm guessing that set your blood to 110.
Yes. Cause one, this guy had been talking forever about how great his Owen Wilson calls were going to be. And I was really just getting kind of sick of listening to it because, like, clearly he didn't have $5,000 to give me. And if he did, I mean, I don't think I'd seriously sell him a franchise. I mean, so he's taking a lot of my time. And then he says that. And I seriously, like, I thought, What do I do here? And I just went silent for like 10 seconds. And then I said, look, man, if you think it's easy to call 45, 50 people in a row and have extended conversations as a turtle, you are nuts. And that's paraphrased, but I was dead serious.
Uh-huh.
And he, however my tone was, it was like, look, man, if he knew, like, if he said another word, like, I was just going to go off.
Well, and it's funny, too, because your tone of voice is very important because you're not a drop the F-bomb kind of guy either.
Right, no.
So if Brian's ticked off, this is what it sounds like.
I always tell people, you'll know if I'm mad because, like, you'll know.
I usually spit out nonsensical terms and like noises. I'm just like, my eyes bug out and my head goes crazy and I tighten every muscle. I'm like, what? And then I'll finally say something, but yeah, I make a lot of noises when I'm really, really mad.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, that's turtlecalls.com. You can go there. You can purchase a call. I'll call anyone you want. And it's really fun.
And your idea on the call list here, or topic list here, was to make a turtle call attempt to Rizzo and Goldhammer right now.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Well,
do you have the number?
I don't.
Well, can you look it up on your internet?
I'm guessing it's 216-578-0850.
Why would you think that?
Because that every radio station phone number has always been 216-578 numbers.
I think it'd be rash to just dial that. What if that's the mayor's number?
It'd be a much better turtle call. All right, so I'm looking it up. You're going to put it on speakerphone on your celly.
Yeah, my phone's got to turn back on. So in the meantime, let me tell you why I made this list. This is inspired by your show notes. I thought you could just follow this and copy-paste it.
You've really done a lot of work for me.
Yeah. I mean, how do you do your show notes? Do you go back and like listen to the whole show, or do you make notes as we go? Or
I try and remember it first.
Yeah.
And then if I can't remember, I scan through kind of 3 minutes at a time just to figure out what we were talking about.
Yeah.
And you can, the really detailed versions are when I've gone back and re-listened just, and I don't re-listen to the whole thing. I skip ahead 3 minutes or type something, skip ahead 3 minutes, type something. And then I go long enough on the bullet points so that it covers up the graphic.
Yes. Okay.
I don't even go to the end.
You know, your writer, Ben Cox, you know, he was...
216-578-0850.
Okay. You know, he was in my movie Who Shot Mamba, right?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he played a roundy henchman. We shot the final basketball game in Hudson.
Oh.
At the gym I went to high school with. He's from Hudson.
Of course.
He was a reader on my site, and we said, hey, anybody come in that wants to be a roundy henchman in this, come on in. So he's in the movie.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
We'll have to find it on the movie and...
He's really he's very prominently featured in the locker room scene.
I'm gonna find it. I'm gonna post it on Waiting for Next Year.
I'll find it and send you a screen grab. Actually, it's really easy to find.
I can't believe he didn't tell me that.
I don't know. I don't think
you're telling me that wasn't a career highlight for him?
I don't know. Perhaps he's ashamed of his association with me. Actually, it's right at the start of chapter 9, part 2.
All right. So you're dialing.
Okay. It's 1-216. 216.
578.
578.
0850.
Zero. I got to find the 8. There it is. 50. Dial. All right. I think Gerard
Cherry.
Yeah. And Jerry are on today. Aaron.
It's on speakerphone?
Yeah.
Make sure you hold it near the phone or the mic.
What do I want to talk about?
I
would like to talk about the draft.
Okay, what about specifically?
I have a pick that I would like to take at number 6. I think they need a quarterback.
Okay, what's your name?
A turtle.
What is it?
A turtle. A-T-U-R-T-L-E.
Okay, where are you from?
I'm from Florida.
All right, 1 second.
Thank you.
All right, now I can't believe he took down a turtle. Brian's on hold.
I don't know how to
keep it on speaker.
All right. Are you? Can you hear that all right? Well, I don't think we're going to get on right away. Do you?
I don't know. Let's see.
All right. I mean, I just don't want to listen to the radio show while during your podcast.
I can cut it out later.
Oh. I'm going to call him Jerry.
Does he know about turtle calls?
I don't know. He might. He's friends with Pete.
Yeah. All right, we're doing commercials. I'd like B-Spot to advertise here. Maybe you're right. I'll talk to Michael Simon.
Exactly. I've never been there.
It's really good.
We can edit all this out.
They have a pickle bar. We'll see how long it takes.
All right. Should we talk about something else in the meantime?
Well, I don't want to miss it.
Oh.
Well, I don't want to ruin the big bit.
Hey, what's going on? It's actually a turtle.
A turtle?
Yes.
Is this a turtle?
Yes.
What's your take on the
sixth pick? Well, I think they need to take Mike Barkley because he is the most handsome candidate to be on the team, and I think from a marketing perspective, that's very important. Yes, he's super cute.
Hung up on
yeah.
Oh, there you have it, folks.
We did it.
We done did it.
We did it. I'm exhausted.
So now the real question is, should we turn on the really big show online and catch the replay 30 seconds later?
Oh, is that when it comes on? I don't know, maybe. I'm exhausted. I'm sweating.
Let me just try this real quick. We've already gone to the well.
I'm sweating.
Yeah, me too.
I wore a sweatshirt over here. Let's see if anybody says hi on Twitter. He jumbled up the name. What do you call it? A Treu or something?
Artrell.
Artrell. We already missed it.
What's up, Dale?
Oh. They must have commented on it somehow. Somebody will be able to tell us what the result of that was.
And, you know, I've been cutting because we were waiting on hold and stuff. So we're finally back. And so that's what a prank phone call to Aaron Goldhammer sounds like.
Turtle calls are not prank calls. They're friendship calls.
Friendship calls.
They are intended to make the recipient feel good. I will actually, if somebody requests, this is how it works. Somebody buys a call for $2 and they say, here's who I want you to call. And I ask, well, give me some kind of prompt. Why do you want me to call them? Is there something I can reference? Something, you know, in case the conversation just doesn't hit it off. And, so then they write in this form, you know, what they want me to talk about or whatever. And, but some people, when they come in, they say, you know, so and so is getting fired. I want you to make fun of him. Like, I refuse it. I say, no, I don't. This is not a mean spirited thing. So.
So you would never be very good on a Comedy Central roast.
No, I would. I no.
Would you want to be roasted?
Sure. Yeah.
That wouldn't bug you?
No, not at all.
Wow.
I'll laugh at myself. I'm crazy.
I'd laugh at myself too, but those things are just like mean spirited for the sake of being mean spirited.
Yeah, but I don't. I mean, I just don't. I generally don't care that much what other people think of me. It's just not a.
Unless somebody accuses you of not having talent doing turtle calls.
Yeah. But I will say that if I'm able to step away from almost anything for like 30 seconds, I can blow it off. And I actually make a very, very concerted effort to do that sometimes when I'm in a potentially, you know, heated situation.
Well, I don't know if codependent's the right word, but that's I think of myself that way as like whenever there's some kind of a Twitter feud or an argument between Waiting for Next Year and somebody else.
Yeah.
I'm the one who kind of just wants everybody to get along.
Yeah.
And I try and find the common ground.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know if people like that about me or they find it infuriating, but I can't change it.
Well, I know it used to make Pete really mad.
Oh, why?
He's really, and I don't think he would feel like I'm talking behind his back here.
You're not.
No. He, I mean, you know, Pete likes a strong opinion.
Yeah.
And hold your ground.
He does think I'm wishy-washy.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
And I think he would tell me that to my face.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that too.
Yeah. And I you know, I think he's too bullheaded, but I've certainly told him that to his face plenty of times.
I like to come out with my opinion and I don't mind if people change my mind.
Yeah. I don't really either. I'm of the stance that, I mean, opinions are opinions, and unless it's, you know, an objective
thing. That doesn't mean I don't have principles. I just don't, I don't really care about having principles when it comes to my NFL team.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like I have principles, of course, but I don't, nothing's etched in stone. Everything's constantly changing in the sports world, and it's supposed to be entertainment and fun. So, yeah.
No, especially with things like in sports. I mean, it's all so, you said it's entertainment and it's just not that important. Even though it is, because it does other things. It can unite people. It can actually affect, you know, change in society. It can do a lot of amazing things. But on a general basis, like, you know, who the Browns draft is not that big a deal, you know?
No, in the scheme of things. I mean, it is a big deal in the football world. Yeah. But what you mean is the football world's just not that big of a deal.
Yeah, but it is not worth you and I getting in a huge argument.
No. And people do. People really do. I recently said, because I can't even remember who I found out had blocked me, but it was some CBS writer.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, if you're out there and you've blocked me, it says more about you than it does about me, because it just doesn't make any sense to me how you could fight like that.
I'm sure you weren't the one who was going like, you know, you're a stupid idiot, you know?
No, I don't even remember talking to the guy. I'm sure I wrote something, a headline got in front of him and he was like, well, that's dumb. And, you know, really? Yeah. Is it that?
Twitter's a weird thing. This is on my list. Have you gotten your Twitter archive yet?
I did. And it's like the worst thing ever.
Yeah. I'm actually compiling, I'm pulling out all my favorites. I'm going to put out an ebook of it. And,
that's a really good idea.
Yeah, it's easy. I mean, I have 37,000 tweets. So
it's already been done. Who did that?
Yeah, somebody, I'm sure it's been done plenty of times.
There was a celebrity who was on Opie and Anthony, I think, and he was pitching his book, which was just, I know who it was. And he gave the money to charity, I think. It was,
I'm not doing that.
It was Dennis Leary.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I mean, it's. I don't know. I like to have... Big thing on Amazon with, you know, with books and stuff, it's just being found, and the more product you have on the shelves, the more times you can come up in things like, you know, this person also bought this thing or this person looked at that. So just in terms of having a little more real estate on Amazon, it's a good thing to have. So plus for me, I like to read through some of that stuff. It makes me laugh. So, I mean, it's worth for me having in one package. So,
well, are you going to add some additional commentary?
Yeah. Yeah. And I like that I can also create like live hyperlinks and, you know, all that stuff to hey, here's this video I was linking to. And
I might have to steal that idea. Get all the Waiting for Next Year guys to download their Twitter archives and
dude, I'm sure it's been
pick done a couple events.
Times. I wouldn't call it my own.
Well,
yeah, my early Twitter though is like cringe inducing. I hate it.
I can't believe I'm even saying this out loud. My first 10 or 15 tweets dating back to like, I think 2008.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's when I jumped on. The thing that was still going on with status updates on Facebook and everything, it was mm-hmm. like your name. And then you would put like, is not excited about going to the mall lately.
Right.
So my first like month's worth of tweets were all like blank, blank is da, 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 da.
Yeah.
And that style of status update or tweet. I didn't know what Twitter was. Right. I thought it was status updates.
Yeah.
And I didn't, so.
Yeah, it took me a while to figure out the conversational aspect, but even when I figured that out.
And not only that, I replied to a friend of mine who I went to high school with who was on Twitter before me, and I replied to one of his tweets because it showed up in my timeline, but meanwhile, it was a tweet that was like 18 months old. Because like,
yeah, right,
so I replied to it, and he was like, what? Yeah. What are you saying to me?
Yeah.
I had to figure that whole thing out.
Yeah. So much of my early stuff is even when it's not, it is, at least I can see it. It's so purely self-promotional and attempts to network with the right people or get links here and, you know, try. And it just makes me sick because I've since learned, of course, it doesn't really work that way. And it just feels kind of icky to read through. But once I figured it out, I really came to enjoy it.
Well, and Twitter's on a weird path. I mean, I think we've all, because, you know, I had that embarrassing start. And then us sports guys were a little bit slow to realize that we didn't have to do play-by-play of the games we were watching, which is totally embarrassing now. Yeah. And still can't get some of the mainstream media folks to stop with the play-by-play stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I've said this a number of times. I hate repeating myself all the time, but I have to. If you're saying it's third and two to give context for your commentary, fine. But if you're telling me it's third and two,
and that's it,
at the 45-yard line, period, tweet, that's garbage.
Yeah, it's garbage. Such a waste. It's a waste of everybody's time and space and your own energy. So, I don't know. There's always going to be people who don't use it right. There's always going to be people who don't do anything right. But
well, and I think it has. I don't think Twitter was just negative all the time. But the mm-hmm. bigger it's gotten, the more negative it's become. It's become a live, a real time roast of events, and that's why I think sports are so great on Twitter, because it can be a roast or mm-hmm. it can be a roll tribe, which other people find obnoxious. I don't really care though. It's at least like happy fun.
Right.
That's why I like, I was telling Scott, that's why I like the Harlem Shake so much.
Uh-huh.
I don't care if it's tired and people are ready to, Denny tweeted this morning that the Harlem Shake videos were going to be jumping. We're going to be, jumping over the shark or something here shortly.
Yeah.
I don't really care. Cause it's just like this unbridled, like jumping around joy.
Yeah. And if it only lasted 4 days or whatever until it got old, who cares? It was a fun 4 days.
Yeah.
It was. I mean, I stumbled on that like early. And I was like, wait, did I miss this? Is this? And then I realized, like, oh no, wait, I'm on the front curve of this. Well,
and we're finally getting to the point where people are actually finding the starting point
mm-hmm.
and remembering where the starting point was. Yeah. You can actually find out who started this one.
Do you know that site, Know Your Meme?
No.
Look, it's owned by the guys who did Rock-A-Boom.
Okay.
That show. Know Your Meme. It's a database of that tracks awesome. Exactly that. It has the entire history. It's cool if you want to know where those things start. Yeah. It's
so good. It's like Snopes for memes.
Yeah, almost. I like that there's people are being properly credited. That's what I've always hated about Tumblr is people are gaining these huge audiences just by curating other people's stuff. And as a creator, there's something I don't.
Well, that's a big story, and it's something that we've struggled with in our little universe too.
Mm-hmm.
you know, obviously there was the whole thing with the Bleacher Report article, which linked to a Michael Jordan profile written mm-hmm. by a Sports Illustrated guy, but Reggie Miller on TNT mistakenly said that it was the Bleacher Report writer who had really just kind of curated it.
Mm-hmm.
And to Bleacher Report's credit, the writer himself instantly kind of sheepishly posted a link to the SI feature,
mm-hmm.
knowing that he didn't deserve the credit or whatever, and then TNT later had to apologize. But I also read Will Leach's comments on it yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and there is a use for curation.
Yeah, of course.
And just because this happened with the Bleacher Report, it's really more about Reggie Miller, number one, and how the Bleacher Report handles it after it happens.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, I think it was all handled pretty well. I think it's Much Ado About Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
We have a headline section on Waiting for Next Year now where we like to curate all the different rumors and headlines mm-hmm. and different things. And on the one hand, it does bring traffic into the site.
Mm-hmm.
But more importantly, it creates a perspective. It creates a baseline for when we do write our commentary.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to set the scene, you know, well, Paul Hoynes reported that mm-hmm. this, and then after that, Sam Amico reported this. And
right.
It you've already seen it. You know, we're not taking credit for it, but we're setting that baseline where we're, I don't know.
I'm not against curation at all.
And aggregation is the other word.
Yeah, I just think there's good and bad, and the bad is really bad. But I don't, you know, it's a weird thing where information is just out there for everybody and it's free and all this. And I like it. But at the same time, there's some drawbacks to it. But I don't know. I don't know what the right answer is. I do know that I like the idea that you don't have to set up every blog post. One thing that drives me nuts is when you see people who are forced to write blog posts, like, say, about something LeBron tweeted.
Right.
They have to write like 500 words about something that was like 10 words. It's like, and you can see it's so forced, and there's actually nothing else to say. The tweet speaks for itself, you know?
Right.
And in that case, it's like, why is that space being wasted? And it's purely to draw traffic. It's purely to be able to have that headline, like LeBron James tweets, because people are searching for that, you know? And I don't like that.
But if you're running a business online and you're running a magazine or a website or a blog,
yeah.
You can't ignore search engine.
Oh, I know. I know.
It's like you have to figure out how to be a whore but feel good about taking money.
Exactly. No, I absolutely agree with you. I totally agree. But that doesn't mean it can't irk me at the same time.
No, I agree. So, well, and that self-awareness is part of what separates the people who do it respectably from the people who don't. And,
right.
And nobody can do it without stepping on their own toes a few times here and there.
Yeah. No, I think you guys do a good job. I think you do it right.
Well, we at least try and think about it. Not everybody likes it. Not everybody is satisfied. But it's like if Tony Grossi is writing something about a Browns rumor, even if it's unsourced, the dude who's been covering the team for 30 years, even if you don't believe it, it's noteworthy, we think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not – I don't know. Maybe – is it unsourced? Is it propagating rumors and whatever – I guess. It should be kind of harmless, though. We're not talking about a congressional candidate who's voting on a bill.
Right.
I mean, we're talking about the Browns. We want rumors.
There are people who want to read every single thing. I mean, when I was hardcore in the NBA, I would read the same AP write-up about LeBron in three different places. You know, so I –
because you want to see the comments?
Yeah. I mean, so there are people who want to read every single thing, and they want to read that analysis of LeBron's tweet. Personally, I can't deal with it anymore. I just – you know, I'm not interested in it.
Well, I sent a tweet to Chris Sheridan, the Hoops writer.
Right.
Basketball writer. I don't want to say Hoops. That might be somebody's trademark. He's a basketball writer. Used to be ESPN or whatever.
Yeah.
Now he's SheridanHoops.com.
Right.
And he posted, he had a link to, you know, the five trades that make the most sense or whatever. And he put these trades together and I wanted to read it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a Sulia link.
Mm-hmm.
So I click on Sulia and then it was just the same headline with a link back to his site. And I tweeted him. I was like, serious question. You know, I had to click on Sulia just to click on another link to your website.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? I mean, is that good for you? I think I said, is that good for you? And
right.
I didn't hear back. But stuff like that drives me insane.
Yeah, it's all about, you got to make the user experience as easy as possible. Now, maybe he doesn't need to because he's got this huge readership and he, you know, they go there anyway and he makes enough. I don't know. I mean, we talked about Sulia and it's, who knows what the setup is. I mean, I know there's money flowing through, but who knows what it really is.
Well, I don't mean to bring up the same old things all over again.
Yeah, that's like, right. Let's talk about something else. Here, I want to know. Okay, so Pete, when he was here, brought you wine.
Yes.
Now, it's 11:30 when I got here. If I brought you wine, as Pete did, as some sort of, I'll be honest, I was a little jealous when he did the podcast from your house, and I had only done it over the phone. So it's some kind of like retaliatory jealousy move. I brought you wine at 11:30 because this happens to be when we're doing it. Would you drink the wine?
I would have been polite and I would have drank it.
What if I didn't drink it?
Then I wouldn't drink it. Okay. I'd save it for later. I would assume it was a gift that I was meant to drink later.
I see. All right. That's fair.
I mean, I don't normally drink wine. So I was just, you know.
You were just being polite.
No, it was good.
It was. It was good. I don't drink wine either. I don't like it. I get paranoid about what it does to my teeth.
That's kind of a funny reason not to like wine.
Well,
and know. I'm a ridiculous coffee drinker, so that one doesn't work
right,
for me.
Right. I drink water and Diet Coke. You know that I have a Diet Coke problem that I, you know, is on and off.
My wife has a Diet Coke problem too, and I don't think she'll be mad at me for you know, telling you, but she tried to quit recently and the headaches became too much and she stopped trying to quit.
I'm off right now. I'm doing good. I think the best time to quit is when you're sick.
Do you think it's chemicals or is it just the caffeine?
It's probably...
Or the deadly cocktail of the two.
It's probably both. Yeah. It's probably both.
Because you've heard the weight loss stories about people who like couldn't lose the last 15 pounds or whatever and then they give up Diet Coke and miraculously
well, it's because all the sodium in it.
Is that what it is,
yeah,
sodium?
Yeah. You'll seriously drop about 5 pounds if you quit Diet Coke.
Oh, man.
Because it just, you know, it makes you retain water and stuff, so...
Well, that's not on your list. So Brian's list of topics here.
Oh, okay. Let's talk about this one. I have a real problem. I read this article in Scene the other day about a few new restaurants opening here around town. And I don't like all this, how there's like possessory credits for chefs on restaurants. Like, oh, it's Michael Simon's B-Spot. And it's, you know, Jack Jones's Oulay. I have a problem with it. I don't know why.
All right. Well, you have to be a certain level chef to get those kinds of...
I feel like it's being done for people who aren't that level of chef.
Oh.
I feel like...
Now we're in dangerous territory because you're going to knock somebody down a bit.
No, I haven't named names because I don't know these names because I feel like you shouldn't... I feel like generally people don't know these names. It's like when you see an independent filmmaker put out a trailer for their film, and I apologize to anybody who hears this who has done this, but they'll say, like, you know, it'd be like if I put out a trailer for some movie I made called Joe's Quarry, and it said, you know, the new film by Brian Spaeth. And it's like, well, nobody knows who I am. Why? There's no asset to having that there. It is purely a selfish act to pump yourself up. Now, I guess you could say it's promotional, but for me...
Well, now I want to go back and I want to look at, like... M. Night Shyamalan's career, because
right.
At some point it became M. Night Shyamalan's...
Well, he is a special case.
The whatever.
Yes. Yeah. He's a special case, though, because The Sixth Sense, you know, he became part of that story of the success of that movie. And
why
so,
was that? Just because it was a twist?
I think
he was from Philly. It was his love letter to Philly.
I don't know what it was. I think it was just because it was such an unexpected hit, and it became such a hot... a talking point film that everyone was talking about it. And so in terms of continuing to promote it, because he wrote and directed it, and yeah, probably because he shot it in his hometown. And all, I mean, I'm sure he became an asset as far as the marketing. So yeah, he became part of the story. And I don't know.
All right, so back to restaurants.
Yeah, so I feel like it's the same thing. It's like, you know, it's you know, Jack Jones's Oulay. And it's like, well, I don't know who Jack Jones is. And
but are you ever going to know him unless he puts his name on something?
I still don't know him.
Well, but you might. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not a foodie. I feel like maybe, I mean, I guess.
And I hate the term foodie.
I do too. But I don't know what else to call it. I'm not a food enthusiast.
That's fine.
But I guess that's speaking directly to that audience that is.
I have this argument with my wife all the time as an aside.
Yeah.
They're curtains. It's not a window treatment. They're curtains. You know, same with foodie. You know, you don't need to be a foodie.
What do you mean? Like window, people call curtains a window treatment?
Mm-hmm. Treatments. Window really? Treatments.
I always assumed that was some kind of like film you put over the window to keep the cold out or something.
It's like the word marketing people. I love marketing people. I hate when they say signage. They're signs. They're signs, you jackass.
You know what word I hate? Colleague. I hate it.
What do you feel about signage?
I don't mind it.
And I'm sure signage that technically they're right because it's a whole scape of signs or a whole landscape of signs as opposed to just an individual sign. But it's just it's like Subway. People who work at Subway calling themselves sandwich artists.
If Subway would take that and make it like ironic and funny, I think it would be really good.
I think their employees make it ironic.
Yeah. Well, it's like how I'm sure they took that from Disney, who calls their employees cast members.
Right. And I was just at Disney, and that's always
It's
always funny because you'll walk around Disney and you hear the one person who is like the insider. They've got the insider knowledge in their party. They're all kinds of – they're telling their family about – well, there are all kinds of secret entrances, and you have to wait in lines around Disney. So you hear somebody think that they're – somebody telling the story excitedly five times while you're there.
Yeah. Well, my sister-in-law did work there in like a summer, and they actually – a bunch of those employees do live in like dorms. And like – so there is like a whole culture of like the summer help.
I thought you were going to give me the inside story excitedly. Like
no, I don't have anything more than that.
It's a series of underground tunnels where they can move from any place around the park. The Magic Kingdom's all interconnected by underground tunnels.
It's a real world Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, which I don't even know if that's still there anymore.
I think so. Yeah. I think so. It was a little bit chilly, so we didn't ride any of the water stuff.
But. All right. What were we talking about? Oh, the possessory. The word. I want to talk about the word colleague. I hate it.
Really?
Yes. Do you use it?
I don't think so, but it doesn't really bother me either.
It screams to me as like some kind of like, I don't know. I guess it's easier to – it doesn't feel easier to say than person I work with.
I say coworker.
Yeah, that seems better. Colleague sounds like it's just – I'm just trying to sound very, very important, you know?
Yeah. What do you call your friends? Like,
friends?
When you say to like your mom that me and a couple of blanks are going to go to the bar and watch the game.
Friends.
They're friends.
Yeah.
I say buddy.
I've used that. Yeah.
I always feel like an old man when I say, yeah, me and my buddy.
Yeah. I don't know.
It seems a little like.
It does feel a little bit like trousers or something like that.
Trousers. Rubbish.
Yeah. Supper.
Supper. I don't know why supper is a funny word, but it is.
I don't know.
You feel like you can't have supper unless you've got a triangle that you can ding to call everybody to
Do
it.
Do you say couch or sofa?
I say couch.
Okay. I say sofa. But I think I used to say couch. And then when I started working for my parents, who owned retail furniture stores, sofa became the proper term. So
I think a sofa belongs in a living room and a couch belongs in a family room.
That really actually sounds right.
And a love seat's a love seat, no matter where it is.
Yeah, that's true. Where were we? Let's look at the list. This is so great.
Vin Diesel Facebook.
I don't want to talk. I'll tell you what that is real quick.
Yeah,
first of all, he has one of the biggest Facebook pages among celebrities in the world. You know that?
I had no idea.
He's got like a gazillion fans. And
so he's the Dane Cook of Facebook.
He is huge. And they all and he posts really sensitive things. He'll post like photoshops of himself with like cursive writing that says like, you know, feel your soul.
It
and
makes
stuff.
Sense that It'll somebody him, like Vin Diesel would be sun. It makes sense that Vin Diesel would be so precious.
Yeah, but he posted the other day him doing a karaoke of a Rihanna like love ballad.
Oh man.
And it went viral. And because obviously, I mean, it sounds exactly like you would think it would sound. And I don't know, he talked about it this morning where he's like, you know, hey, don't be afraid to put yourself out there and just be who you are and it's okay. I just think it's nice. I think it's nice.
Well, and I do agree with that. As I've gotten older, mm-hmm. Even stuff I don't like, I try and, well, there's an audience for everything. You know, I'm glad somebody's out there trying.
Yeah.
Just don't make me buy it.
Yeah. That's well, all. I mean, you look at like Gawker, like, you know, will like make, I understand that's their business to be snarky, but for a few years, I thought we were beyond the age of snark. I thought we had reached a more, maybe it was just the parts of the internet I was going to, but I thought we had reached a more, a nice place.
Well, when San Diego Comic-Con becomes so big that it's not niche anymore, you got to think that we've jumped across a threshold where Snark might die because, all right, Star Trek is legit. Yeah. Star Wars is legit.
Yeah.
But then we just create another level of you know, dummies that people want to make fun of. And yeah. I put dummies in quotes.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're right. There's always going to be mean people, I guess.
Yeah, there's always going to be mean people.
Yeah, and they're jerks. But I think as a whole, we are much more tolerant today. But I think there's still a lot of snark out there, and it's too bad. But that's okay. That's a part of...
And we all get caught up in it at times.
And I think probably as we get older, we get better, too.
But sometimes it is fun to just... To just jump and make jokes on something.
Yeah.
It just feels like on Twitter, I run into a crew of people doing it every single night.
Well, there are people on Twitter who fancy themselves comedians that shouldn't. And I don't know.
Yeah, mean isn't always necessarily funny.
Right.
And funny doesn't necessarily have to be mean.
Right.
But exactly. People have inextricably tied the two together.
Right.
Like, in a lot of cases.
Like smartass equals hilarious.
Yeah. Well, and I've got a signed poster of Jim Norton on my wall here in the in the podcast studio.
Yes.
And he is a vulgar, disgusting, nasty, mean-spirited comedian. And I think he's hysterical, but I don't have that in my soul. I can't do that.
Yeah.
So it feels like the wrong people try and be who they're not.
Yeah.
Just because they've seen somebody else make it funny.
Yeah. Although I will say I am not really myself on Twitter that much.
You have a character.
Yeah. And it's not even intentional. It's just that I think that it's funny.
And where did that speaking style that you're typing out.
It is. It came from when I wrote that book, The Christmas Bridge, because I wrote that in that style. And the book took me like 4 or 5 months. And... it was really hard to stay in that vernacular, that whatever you want to call it. And so I wrote that way on my blog during that time.
Do you ever talk like that?
No, not really.
You just type like that?
Yeah.
That's really weird.
Yeah. Sometimes the turtle will talk like that.
Right.
And so my Twitter became that too. And of all the things I've done, of all the things I've written, published or not, you know, filmed or not, that book, The Christmas Bridge, is like, it's not the best thing I've done, but it is the thing that makes me laugh the most. I'm a big fan of my own work. So,
hey, you know, I think that's important too. A lot of artists won't admit that they're a fan of their own work.
Yeah.
And I won't sit here. I played in a band. We did an album. I won't tell you that I like listen to our stuff, but like once a year, you know, if I want to start doing it, I'll listen to the stuff and I do like it.
Yeah.
You can't like be a big fan of your own work and play it all the time,
or
watch it. But you know, when you do have to pick it back up, it's better to like it than not.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's not to say I'm not objective about my own stuff. I have plenty of stuff that I've done that I hated, that never saw the light of day because I couldn't stand it.
Like your Twitter archive.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. As I get further through, right now what I'm doing is reading through month by month and yanking out what I like and putting it in a document, and you know, then I'll format it and publish it. But so right now, I got on Twitter in December of 2008, and right now I'm in February of 2010.
Wow.
And I would say, and 2009 was my heaviest year. I had almost 12 to 1,500 tweets a month. And yeah, so it took a long time to get through that. But I would say I found my groove on Twitter right around January 2010, where I'm like, all right, I get this. This is what I like doing. So I don't know. But yeah, that thing I do now is... it's like it. It feels kind of light and fun and harmless, and I don't know.
All right, well, let's go back to the list.
Okay. We did we talked about the list itself. A Turtle Call, we did that. Drinking Wine During the Day, we did that. Vin Diesel Facebook. Burger King Twitter Hijacking, I don't know. I don't really want to talk about it, do you? It kind of bores me.
No, I didn't even follow it, really.
I'll say this. It was really actually great for them.
It brought them
a tremendous amount of attention. I used to do this. I used to talk to brands on Twitter a lot. I used to talk to Supercuts all the time. And what I used to try and do is get Supercuts Twitter to talk to Fantastic Sam's Twitter and Great Clips Twitter. And I'd put them all in the same tweet. And I'd be like, you guys should talk. You know, you guys have a lot in common. You should be friends.
All right.
And so the Supercuts one is the only one who would like kind of play along, but they would only do it through DM. And they'd DM me and they'd be like, look, I can't do that.
So we should get sports teams to talk to each other. Like, hey, yeah, have you guys worked out that trade yet?
I don't know why they don't. I guess I don't know why they don't do stuff like that. I mean, but it's fun, you know. And yeah. Anyway, so but actually, that Supercuts thing is funny because I ended up getting a meeting with their people to do a Supercuts movie. it was going to be an indie film, it was going to be a parody of a Wes Anderson film. It was going to be about this guy who, his dad in his will left him this giant airplane hangar, this abandoned old airplane hangar. And then, so at the same time, this guy gets, his dad was like a multi-billionaire, but all he left him was this airplane hangar. Real jerky guy, has no, ambitions in life. He's just lives off his dad's money and that's it. But now all he's got is this airplane hangar. So his girlfriend kicks him out because all she wanted was the money. So he goes and lives in this airplane hangar. And this woman shows up there and she says, I was left something by your father as well. And it was directions to this airplane hangar. And so they both start living there. And one day he has a dream and she has the same dream. And it's that they need to scrape the paint off this wall. So they scrape the paint off the wall and it says Supercuts across the wall. It's the Supercuts logo. So they become determined. They determine that what they need to do. Oh, no, I'm sorry. The other thing she has is a Supercuts. He leaves her a Supercuts franchise license. Okay. And they don't know why. So once they scrape that off, then they realize they're supposed to build the world's biggest Supercuts inside the airplane hangar. So the rest of the movie is about them trying to build this thing. So I pitched it to the Supercuts people and, it actually got pretty far.
You wouldn't need a big budget for that movie.
No, you never actually see.
It's like two actors and then one big scene with a million extras.
Yeah, exactly. And you could do that as just because of the, if you're talking like an indie film, like kind of pretentious indie film parody, you could do it as kind of a Dreamtime. You could almost do an animation or something.
Well, and I think it's funny that you called it a Wes Anderson parody.
Yeah.
it's like, I don't know. That's multi-layered.
Yeah.
But
I know. I'm not a particular fan of his work. I understand why it's good. It's just not for me.
Fair enough.
But but it got pretty high up. And then I tried to repurpose that for Costco and pitched it to them. And
you love Costco.
I love it.
Me too.
I love big brands. I love stuff like that. But Costco, the head
In
of Costco.
In fact, there was one time where you and I were texting about getting together to meet for something. And you were at Costco. And I was at Costco town. You said, I'm at Costco buying chicken breasts.
That's right.
And I took a picture of the Costco sign because I was in the parking lot waiting to go in.
I remember that.
That's just creepy.
Yeah. That's okay. Anyway, the head of Costco.
Wait, so you don't like Wes Anderson?
No.
I like Rushmore.
I like Rushmore okay.
Take or leave the rest of it.
Yeah.
But that's really, I like Bill Murray.
Yeah.
I saw that
Moonrise Kingdom, and I didn't care for it.
I didn't either. I like Tenenbaums.
I didn't like that.
Fantastic Mr. Fox was.
I only saw part of that. The Tenenbaums to me was the trailer missold it. I thought it was going to be. I don't understand why. Like it's called. Like people think it's so hilarious when people are slitting their wrists and it doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know. I know it's supposed to be dark comedy, but that's a little beyond dark comedy to me.
And I only kind of like Jason Schwartzman. I want to like him even more.
Yeah.
And then he loses me half the time. I love that he went. He went and played drums for Phantom Planet for a while. They had a really good album.
I've never heard of them.
They had a great song called California.
Really?
And I thought that was such a great move. Yeah. For the Rushmore guy.
Yeah.
Love it.
I don't know.
He's lost me over time. But people love his HBO show, too, Bored to Death.
Yeah, yeah. I think they're trying to make a movie out of that because it got canceled. But so Burger King. Yeah, it was great for them. It was great attention. Hopefully they become a little more casual on their Twitter now instead of just saying, hey, we have a sale on Whoppers, which is basically what they were doing before, and thanking people for talking about Burger King. This has been a great move for them. So,
well, and it kind of reminds me that I was praising your marketing abilities last week in my head because, mm-hmm. Since you've relaunched Turtle Calls, you've activated your email list again,
mm-hmm.
and you're doing a whole round, multiple rounds of user submission photos.
Yeah.
So tell people what you're doing.
I'm doing
why. And then tell me why, because it's working. It's great. I love it.
I mean, I like.
So what are you doing?
I have my email list, which is like, it's 2,500 people right now. And that's, you know, opt-in people. That's not like my contact list. That's like people have opted into my email newsletter. And, which you can get at brian23.com. It's in the right column. There's a sign up form. And you get a free copy of one of my books if you sign up. So, ebook only. Anyway.
So it's something for nothing.
Yeah, it is. And what do? I don't know. I like people and I like corresponding with people. And there's only so much you can do on like Twitter and Facebook. And
so you've asked for 2 user submissions.
Yes. So I sent like 2 weeks ago, I just asked people. It was a really short email, if I remember. It was like 4 sentences or something. I said, hey, turtle calls are back. And to celebrate, please send me a picture of something orange. The first orange thing you see. And I think I got 54 or 56 pictures back.
And multiple pictures of those industrial
cones,
earplugs.
Oh, yeah. I did get some of those, too. Yeah.
People who work in factories always see those industrial earplugs for walking on the shop floor.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I would...
So does that go down as the most pervasive orange thing in the world in America right now?
Probably. No, it's those orange construction cones.
Construction cones.
Are the ones.
What was the weirdest orange thing somebody sent you? Because I don't remember.
Somebody shone an orange-tinged light in their face and sent a picture of their face. That was kind of weird.
And then, of course, somebody sent the banana.
Yeah, somebody sent a picture of a banana.
Not orange.
So I don't know, but I respond to every email that people send me back, and it's just nice to like talk with people. Actually, before that one, I sent a note. I was working on that LeBron book that we've talked about, and I was struggling with it, and so I sent out a thing that said, "Hey, I've determined that book is about apathy, actually," and so I sent out this note to my email list and said, "Hey, tell me something that you used to love that you are now apathetic about, and tell me if you miss it. And tell me if you wish you could find your passion for it again." And people sent me back. I mean, I got a ton of replies to that. And people sent me like really long things and some really like kind of like serious deep things. It was pretty cool.
Well, and that's a place where, you know, if we could jump back to aggregation,
mm-hmm.
that's a really worthwhile way to write a book. I mean, Terry Pluto's written sports books that way,
mm-hmm.
based on, you know, Browns fans. And I think it's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Only somebody who's got an interesting following can do that. Mm-hmm. Somebody who's willing to take the time to weed through it.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at it as a business model, you mm-hmm. can get really cynical about it.
Yeah.
But I think it's valuable.
I think as long as you're, you know, my goal with my email list is purely, look, I mean, no, obviously I want to sell books. I want to sell my product, but
No. Let me take people inside Brian Space's life. You want to pay your rent monthly.
Yeah, exactly.
You want to pay for your gym membership and pay your rent.
That's right.
And not lose your car.
That's right.
That's pretty much your career ambitions, I think.
Those are my needs. Obviously, I'll take more, but I really, those are my needs.
There's no vacation house in Brian Space's life.
I don't need it. No. I don't, you've never been to my place. I live in a studio apartment. If I had more space, I wouldn't want it because it would mean I could acquire things. Yeah. And I don't want to acquire things. I don't need them. Not in some pretentious way. I just literally don't like having a lot of stuff.
And you're saying that to a man who has a podcast studio with instruments all over the place.
That's right. You have 2 drum sets.
Yeah. You're surrounded by drums. I've got a regular drum set, an electronic drum set. I have 1, 2, 3 guitar amps, a bass amp, a PA system.
Why didn't you send me a picture of that?
What?
That amp, that orange amp that says orange on it.
I don't know, I should have.
Yeah, it would have been cool. You would have made the cover. The cover of the album on my Facebook page, which That's instead true. Somebody sent me a pamphlet that said Think Orange, and I was like, well, this is the cover.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't know. Speaking of aggregation, though, I'm going to put out a Turtle Calls book at some point, probably after I finish this Twitter one, that's going to be all the submissions of what people wanted me to call and talk to people about, because some of them are really long and they're all out of context, especially they're really funny, some of them. So, and I have literally, I mean, thousands and thousands of them, so I got to go through all those too, but I'll get down to the best ones. But yeah, there's a way to do it. But my email list, I don't know, I mean, I just like the correspondence with people, and I like doing things that make people laugh, and I like doing things that make people, I don't know, the fact that 56 people would send me pictures of orange things is kind of cool. It's nice.
Right. And the follow-up is Batman.
Yeah. I asked people to send me a drawing of Batman with some sort of orange highlight or in his costume somewhere.
Can you give me the sneak preview? What comes after Batman, or you just haven't thought of it?
I don't really think about it.
I figured it wasn't this long, drawn out outline of things.
I mean, there's goals and there's schedules, but there's not like, it's not like I'm doing some kind of, campaign, like sales campaign where I'm going to be like, okay, now that we've done these exercises, please sign up for my webinar. It's not like that. Right. It's just, I don't know. It's just keeping up regular correspondence with people.
Although I think a webinar would actually be really fun.
Of what?
I don't know.
What would I possibly do a webinar of?
I don't know, but that's a word that my brother can't stand.
Really?
He gets violently angry when people say the word webinar. And, you know, we work in the insurance business. Mm-hmm. Companies are having webinars all the time.
Oh, I'm sure.
He just hates it.
Yeah. Well, okay, let's have a webinar. Let's do a webinar for something completely dumb.
Well, we'll think about that offline. We've got a whole list of topics we've got to bang out here.
How, on a scale of 1 to 10, how healthy do you think you are?
I think I'm 7 or an 8.
All right. Good.
How about you?
Right now I'm a 7 or 8. Normally I'm a 9.5.
Okay.
All right.
What's the difference between a 7.5 or an 8 and a 9 or a 10?
Right now I feel my fitness level is lower and my weight is heavier than I traditionally am.
Winter's tough in Cleveland, man.
It is.
I it's hard not to get heavier. It's hard to feel good about your fitness level when, I like to run 10 miles on a Saturday.
Yeah.
Can't do that right now.
I was sick at the start. We talked about this off the podcast. I was sick at the start of the year and I just got off to, I don't know. And I was home over Christmas where I probably put on 15 pounds in like 10 days.
Cooking.
Yeah, I mean, it's bad, all the cookies and all that stuff. So anyway, but I got the Tough Mudder in April, so I'll be back to 9.5, hopefully in another 6 weeks.
All right, so if nothing else, make sure in the comments you tell us on a scale of 1 to 10 how healthy you feel.
That's right. That's a good thing for my email newsletter.
All right, and next, I'm going to read the next one.
Okay.
Because it's, next, there's a bullet point with no context. It just says, bionic hands and eyes.
Yes. Did you see there is a... The next generation bionic hand has been approved in England, and it actually has individual, basically will give you almost the same sensory.
I heard a guy was able to scratch his own face.
Yeah, that was the last one. This one is like, it looks like the Luke Skywalker.
Oh, no, that was an actual arm transplant.
Yes.
That wasn't a bionic.
It's just a bionic hand. It looks like the Luke Skywalker hand minus the skin.
Dr. Claw from Inspector Gadget?
Kind of, yeah. But it's got, they do this thing where you poke it and they feel it and it ties into the nervous system and they can grip things. And like, crazy. it's not fluid yet, but you can see that it will be.
I've always wondered, does something like that run on batteries?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Are we slowly working toward becoming Iron Man where you need like a battery?
Well, I mean, that's known as transhumanism.
Really?
Yeah, the people who feel that we will merge with machines in those ways. And this is actually what the topic is, because the bionic eye is pretty much coming too. It's just right now it's like a huge thing you wear on your head, but it's
I think the bionic ear will come first.
Probably.
And I'm almost counting on that one because I definitely have bad ears in my lineage.
Yeah.
And my early concert going years.
Oh.
And years playing drums. I started wearing earplugs. I started wearing earplugs when I was like 16 or 17.
Yeah.
At every show. But even some shows in Boston at those small clubs were still so loud that my ears would ring for 4 or 5 days after.
Yeah.
Even though I wore earplugs.
Yeah.
So well, I'm sure I've done a lot of damage.
Let me ask you this. If you could... let's go 10 or 15 years in the future.
Okay.
And there's a bionic eye, okay, that will look just like your eye right now, okay? But it's completely artificial. It will give you things like night vision if you want it. I don't know what other kinds of vision it could give you. Maybe the ability to see underwater, clearly.
I've already volunteered to put the Google chip in my brain.
Okay, then that's a yes.
I'm in. I'm in for the bionic eye. I'll be the test case, too. You can
really?
Yeah, you can... Put me on that pilot.
All right, well, you're a transhumanist. Look up transhumanism.
Because I'm assuming we'd only start with one eye.
Yeah, I'm sure you would have that option. I'm sure that's correct. You know, do you really want to do both of these?
Well, and it would be like adding a CD player to your PC.
Yeah,
You know, I'm going to start with an external before I open up the guts of my computer and put one in.
I mean, look, when you look at, you talk about the Google chip, I mean, we essentially are merged with these machines. You know, I can't live without my phone. I would not have been able to get here without my phone.
No.
I mean.
I think a whole lot about how different school should be for my kid based on the fact that, you know, memorizing facts is meaningless in the modern age.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
But it will not have caught up with how meaningless it is.
Right, right.
And it's going to be very frustrating for me as a parent.
I bet it will.
I'm going to despise, like, AP history. Forget it.
Yeah.
Forget it. Come on.
It's just not, I mean.
Study it. Learn the themes. But don't memorize stuff for a test. There should be no tests. And I hate to sound new agey, but tests are pointless almost. Yeah. Except that they have to grade people.
I agree with you. This is why I was terrible in school, because I always felt that way.
This is why I only cared to get B minuses and C pluses.
Yep.
I just didn't want to fail.
Yeah, whatever was needed just to get by.
Got an occasional D. What? Huh?
My math teacher gave me a D just so I could graduate, because I should have failed.
I got a D one quarter in AP history, and I was like, I'm never taking an AP class ever again. I never did.
Yeah.
Because screw it.
Yeah.
AP for what? Although, whatever. I don't want to get learning. Learning.
In conclusion, we were bad at school.
educational systems will not catch up to technology and the demands.
No, there's too much in the infrastructure and too much tied into the way things work. That's why I've said
old systems.
Yeah,
including teacher education. This is not to downgrade teachers. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing that at all. I'm just saying the system. Probably can't keep up with our modernity.
Well, if you look at, I believe that
I always have to say words like modernity strangely because I don't feel comfortable saying them.
I've never heard that word.
It's modern.
Okay.
Modernity.
Yes, I've seen that, but I've not heard it, I suppose.
When I always had like, I was willing to use words in the vocabulary. It's not like I don't have an exceptional vocabulary, but I've always been willing to use words like infinitesimal.
Uh-huh.
Or whatever. And so then I have to say it funny so that people think that I'm kind of mocking myself. But secretly, I just like to use those words.
That's okay. That's okay. Thanks. Okay, so I believe that we are on the path to, if you've ever looked up, you know, what's known as the Age of Abundance, a kind of a Star Trek future where there's basically where socialism can be fine because there actually is enough for everybody.
Well, and it's true. I don't want to get political, but, I mean, poor people today generally have like cell phones and TV,
right?
Home ownership amongst the people in the poverty line or whatever is an all-time high,
right?
So I mean the tide has risen, even though, you know, we keep drawing the lines and calling people impoverished.
I mean, if you look at like 3D printing, and you look at literally there are plans. I don't know if you've read about these. There's two different companies right now who are putting together plans for 3D printed homes.
Yeah,
literally, where they will just print the whole house.
Yep.
I mean, there can.
The economies of scale.
Yes.
Once the first plan is done, it's crazy.
If we can get through like the next 70 to 100 years, I mean, we are really going to reach an age of wonderful Star Trek utopia. I truly believe that. But we have to get there. And I do think that it means a complete at some point. I think Obama kind of would say this if he didn't have to be. I'll be interested to see where Obama stands after he's president on a lot of things. We really have to rewrite the way the entire world functions, the way we all relate to each other, the way economies work, the way everything works. You know?
Imaginary lines between states couldn't be less relevant than they are.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But we continue to try and delineate between Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, and Western Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, if you want to look at it on a really small scale and how much the world has changed just in the past, I don't know, 10 years, like, does your area code matter at all?
Not at all.
No, not at all.
No, but, and it's we're finding it now, too. You know, it's such a big deal the way Colorado legalized marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
And it flies in the face of a federal law. Mm-hmm. And now if I have 1 foot on this side of the line,
mm-hmm.
I can have a natural growing weed in my pocket.
Yeah.
If I'm on this side of the line, I go to federal prison.
Yeah.
It's like, that's just unbelievable to me. Same country.
Yeah.
Basically the same people. It's something, and this is apolitical. I'm not, This is not right wing, left wing.
Right, right.
This is something we're going to have to deal with as Americans.
Yeah, yeah, like, exactly.
Well, United States of Americans.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure you know Bill Simmons always puts himself. He should be the what is it, the in the president's cabinet as like the common sense secretary of sports or something.
Sure.
I feel like there should be a common sense secretary for everything. You know, like. Yeah. You know, like when they wanted to have the big steroid hearings where they called up all the somebody should be able to step in and say, you know what, this is dumb. We're not doing this. Yeah. You know,
anytime you feel the need to have congressmen and women talk to Rafael Palmeiro,
yeah,
somebody should step in and just say no.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, okay, let's move on. That's great. In our new age of abundance that we're going to have, I believe that we will have the ability to extend our lives. To tremendous extent with all the nanotechnology.
For those following along at home, this is bullet point immortality.
Yes. Would you take it? Provided the theory goes, if this will happen, that, you know, you will be able to live in your ideal body. Okay. You will be, this is common in science fiction, which if you look at science fiction, a lot of things come true. So, and there's a lot of science happening that's going to allow for this. You'll be able to stay in your ideal age, you know, at least genetically, you know, 28, whatever it is. Would you take that?
No. I'm going to be a traditionalist when it comes to age. But then again, I remember being 18 years old and like doing things and being like, well, screw it. If I live to 45, I'll be fine anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you turn 25 and you're like, I'm going to be 30 soon. And 30 seemed like a destination at one point, and now it feels like things are just starting.
Yeah.
And now I just turned 34 last week. 50 doesn't seem that far away anymore.
The other thing is...
So I reserve the right to change my mind.
Absolutely. I mean, lifespans are expanding naturally right now just through better health and fitness and medical care and all these things. So, I mean, it's I don't know what life expectancy is now. It's 82, I think, maybe. I don't know, 79.
I have no idea.
But it's longer than it was, I mean, 10 years ago, and it's going to continue to extend. So,
it's currently 78.2 years as of 2010.
But anyway, Ray Kurzweil, the great futurist, who got hired by Google not too long ago to be like their head of artificial intelligence. He says that by 2019.
Well, let me just. It was 70 in 1965, 70.21.
Okay.
And now it is 78.
Okay. So it hasn't jumped as much as I thought. But
that's a lot.
Yeah, I guess it is.
That's more than 10%.
Kurzweil says that by 2019, because of all this biotech and nanotechnology, as far as, you know, being able to eliminate cancer and things like that, that we'll be adding 1 year to our lifespans every year.
Okay.
Okay. So, you know.
Although, doesn't it seem like the calamity rate has gone up too? So, even though our life expectancy is X, the Earth might have something to say about it.
Well, yeah.
Isn't that the other side of all sci-fi? Because I love a good disaster.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Who knows on that? I don't know. Everyone's afraid of meteors this week, so, you know.
That's true. Well, I don't remember a time in my life where I had any reason to think about meteors as a danger to my life.
No. But I, you know, it's probably not going to happen here.
during 9/11, I lived in Boston.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, well, if worse comes to worse, I'll just drive to Cleveland. Nobody's going to do anything to Cleveland.
Although I long said if I were a terrorist, I would hit Cleveland. Because now you're striking fear. This could happen anywhere.
Sure.
We're all targets. You know?
It's an interesting point.
I would hit someplace like where I grew up. I'd hit Hudson, which, you know, I think it's 15,000 person population. You take out all 15,000 people, that's a lot. That's a historic.
You're using your marketing abilities for evil now. I don't appreciate it at all.
I know. But that's
I might have to delete this section.
Okay, that's fine. Chef Possessory Credits. We talked about that. Twitter archive. We talked with that. Michael Jordan. I don't know.
That was like, hey, if we need something to talk about, I better put Michael Jordan
on the
list.
Yeah, that's kind of what it was. I was like, if he really needs some sports, that's it. Sadness Frequency. Craig, how often are you sad? I'm not talking like, oh no, Ben broke his leg. I'm really sad about that. I'm talking about like a general like life sadness. Like you just are having a bad day.
I would say quarterly. Like, probably four times a year. Four or five times a year.
That's probably pretty good, I would think.
I'm okay with it.
I assume it's not debilitating.
No, there's a lot of times where it's very useful. You know,
yeah.
I think, again, I don't want to get off on a – this isn't political. This is – but I think that there's an entire drug industry based on avoidance of sadness.
Mm-hmm.
And sadness is like a natural part of life and something mm-hmm. that you're supposed to deal with. Yes, there are people who can't get out of it and mm-hmm. need help, you know, balancing their chemicals. But I think that, you know, if your parents die, you probably shouldn't go get a prescription. You should just live out that sadness.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Your parents died.
Yeah, it's supposed okay to be sad. Yeah.
I don't know. How about you? How many times a year is the mirthful comedian?
I don't know. It's a good question. I haven't really thought about it. I just wanted to ask you. no, I, you know, it's not on a regular, like, thing like that. It's I go through, like, whenever I finish something, I just fall into this depression, like a project. I just, like, I don't know. I just do. I think just because when I'm in the final stages of finishing something, I'm, like, so focused on it every single day, all day. And then all of a sudden it's done. And it almost just, like, throws my brain for a loop. Like, I don't know what to do. And so I just get really out of sorts. That could be 3 or 4 times a year right there. Anytime I don't exercise.
That's a good one, too. Because I, you know, for me now, sometimes a few times a year, if I'm just extra bitchy, my wife will look at me and say, you need to, like, go do something.
Yeah, yeah,
just get out of here.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's right.
So I... How often is that? It's happened a lot.
It's so funny, man, because, like, even when you try and do healthy things, mm-hmm. you end up becoming just an addict. You're just an addict.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, totally. That's, yeah. My parents used to get on me about being too obsessed with exercise. I'm like, well, what do you want me to do? Like, get obsessed with heroin? I mean, there's worse things.
Yeah, I mean, for a while, I used to do 2-a-day, like, workouts.
Yeah.
You know, I'd run in the morning and then, you know, after the kids went to bed, I go ride the bike or something mm-hmm. in my, you know, my exercise room because I've got a bike.
And yeah.
The looks that I would get from my wife sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I don't. I just don't want to sit around and watch TV tonight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
I do that sometimes still.
Or I want to watch TV while I'm pedaling an imaginary bike.
Yeah. I mean, yesterday I did. I ran in the morning and then the afternoon, like late in the afternoon, I went and lifted. And I don't know. It just carries me through the second half of the day. I like it.
You're like the biggest proponent of weightlifting I know.
Mm-hmm. I think it's important. I think it's vital. I think you should do more of it.
Everybody.
Yeah, that's right. Everybody should. I think it's one of my rules of life. Yeah, I mean, it's just good for you. It's muscle's an active tissue, so your body's more alive if you're making it healthier, and it's good for your joints and ligaments and everything else.
Do you actively try and avoid the style of weightlifting that could get you hurt?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. You never like max out?
No. I'm all about good form. I don't care how much weight I'm lifting. I think
Well, how about our buddy Pete and his yoga?
I wish I could get into that, but I just haven't ever. I don't even stretch regularly, which I wish I would.
I have no flexibility either. Like, I played soccer last year mm-hmm. in a league where I was playing every Saturday, and I attempted a marathon. I ran 2 half marathons, 10 mm-hmm. milers, whatever. My flexibility is, like, nil.
Yeah.
I went to 1 yoga class this year, and it seemed like so much work for me to get in yoga shape. Because mm-hmm. anybody could do it. I could do it. Well, not anybody. Most people could do it, and I think I could do it, but mm-hmm. I just didn't have the patience to... To go.
Yeah, I wish I would do it. I don't know why I don't. I used to stretch once a week for like 45 minutes or an hour, and I felt so good during that period. And I could get my head down to my knees. It was I could gain that flexibility. I don't have it now. I really should do that, but I don't. Yeah. So I think Pete's yoga is a real good thing.
I don't disagree.
Yeah.
It seems like a petering out. Or do we finish the list?
I don't know. Well, I wrote some on the way over. We can go through them real quick. I don't want to talk about that. I noticed on the way over they're building a vitamin shop on Sugarland Boulevard.
Where?
A little bit after you get off the freeway.
You mean the Vitamin Shoppy?
Vitamin Shoppy, yes. Which I couldn't be happier about that. The only one, there's 2 of them in Cleveland. There's one in Olmsted.
Mayfield Road.
Yeah, Mayfield Road and Olmsted Falls. They're both very far from me. I love the Vitamin Shoppy when I moved to LA.
What is it about the Vitamin Shoppy that you like so much?
It's big.
It is big.
GNCs are always in little cramped mall stores, and I just don't like it. Vitamin Shoppies are huge and bright. They have a much wider variety of product, or they just have more. I like Costco. I like big places, so I like Vitamin Shoppie. And so I'm just really happy to have one that's going to be a little closer to me. So I'm excited about that. That's why I added that on the way over here. They also changed their logo. They have their new logo on this store. I'm really excited about that because I love branding too.
What do you buy at the Vitamin Shoppie? Do you have a cocktail of, of vitamins and things you take every day?
I can send you a list. Maybe you can put it in the show notes. But I take like probably 12 or 15 different things every day.
Wow.
So,
do you think you're addicted to those as well?
I'm
going to add that to the list of necessary monthly expenditures. The gym, the rent, the not vitamins. Lose your car, and the vitamin shopping.
That's right. That's right. I mean... A lot of them, I mean, I take like extra vitamin C. So some of them are just very basic. Some of them are stuff I read about on like longevity websites that.
Would any of them get you banned from the NFL?
I don't think so. No.
Okay.
No.
Because I always, once a year.
Do they ban creatine?
No, I think creatine's fine. But once a year we read about somebody who's like took something from GNC and missed four games, allegedly.
I always feel like that's I really took this other thing and I found a doctor who found out that this thing from GNC will give that same test result. And so we're saying it was this thing.
What would you try antler spray?
Probably not. But I think Ray Lewis is on a lot more than that. I think how the NFL has eluded or evaded a drug problem, I have no idea.
No, I tend to. You've got to think.
People are massive.
Yeah.
I mean, they're huge.
Well, some of them are genetic freaks. I mean, those genetic freaks do exist who are just big, strong, bulky guys. But you and I have seen guys in the gym that we know are like supplementing. And I put quotes around supplementing because it's not the same thing.
Yeah. No, there's this guy at my gym who clearly, like I hadn't seen him in a couple months. And he's seriously like 15 pounds bigger than he was 2 months ago. And I was like, and he looks all like kind of bloated and swollen and weird.
And there's no end game for people like that. It's another addiction.
Yeah. Because he looks abnormally big.
At least the NFL players, I get it.
Yeah, there's like, a purpose.
They're coming back from an injury or they're trying to get that big contract.
Yeah.
I mean, lots of people do lots of things for money.
Yeah, I would do it too if I were a pro athlete. No doubt. The last thing on my list is Die Hard 5.
Die Hard 5.
I saw it. I found it horrendous and offensive.
What's your favorite Die Hard?
One.
Two.
Two is your favorite?
Yeah. Really? Something about the snow.
Hmm. I mean, I really like two.
And the with a terrorist set up in the church. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Something about two always stuck with me.
Hmm. I mean, I like it too. I definitely like it. Three was a drop off for me. I don't like the McClane with partner aspect.
Was that Vengeance?
Yeah. It was Samuel L. Jackson.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Four was fine.
Kevin Smith was in that one.
Yeah. I think four is a little underrated.
It's almost not a Die Hard movie.
Right. It's not. But at least John McClane is recognizable as a character. And that helps tremendously with the other problems. But five, it's not even John McClane. It's just like Bruce Willis kind of doing a lazy Bruce Willis thing. And it sucked. The funny thing is
saw it. Is it out?
Yeah, it came out last week.
Oh.
I saw it with a guy who doesn't get out to the movies that much. So,
anybody I know?
No. It's a. I'll tell you after.
Okay.
Anyway,
I just didn't know if that was an interesting part of the story.
No. Not at all. Anyway,
is it in 3D?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. Anyway, so he didn't get out to the movies much. So he said like he really liked it, and I'm thinking, how could he like this? This is weird. And but I'm thinking, well, it's just because he's at the movies and he doesn't get here much. So I'm like, yeah, it was fine. But now I'm thinking, I think he just, because he knew I was a huge Bruce Willis fan, I think he was just like saying that to appease me. Because there's no way, I don't think, he's too smart to have thought that was good. And I know I was just saying it to appease him. So now it's almost like a Seinfeld type situation where we're both pretending we like this movie.
I had a moment like that last week, actually, because my buddies that I've known for a long time.
Yeah.
They have a rock band called Something Involving a Monkey.
Uh-huh.
And they're like a hardcore band but they're creative hardcore band. So they're doing this album. They had a Kickstarter campaign, and I wanted to support them. So I support them to a level that entitled me to go visit them in the studio and maybe do something on the album. And so when I did that, I supported the album, and they sent me the message, oh, this is the date. Can you make it? Cool. Mm-hmm. And I had originally said, yeah, I'd like to scream something. Because I was like, you know, they're kind of a hardcore band. They do some screaming or whatever. And then I got there, and they had a premise for me to, like, pretend to be a news guy. Because the album had a theme, and there was, like, a break in a song, and they wanted me to do this thing. And I finished, and I did it, and it was fun. It was awesome. Uh-huh. And they're like, well, you said you wanted to scream something. You want to scream something? And I was like, no, that was just me painting you guys into a corner, because that's what I thought you guys liked to do mostly. And they just giggled. They were laughing at me. And they're friends of mine, so it was fine.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, that was just me painting you into a corner, really. But it's cool.
That's funny.
I was like, you gave me something substantial to do. I'm happy. This is
awesome.
Yeah. You know? So.
Craig, how long is this podcast?
Well, it's an hour and 30 minutes, but I'm going to cut.
You cut it in half?
There's probably 20 minutes of waiting on hold. Good.
That's right. We did that for a long time. All right, good.
This has been a lot of fun, man.
Yeah.
I'm not going to cut it into two pieces. It's going to be one piece.
All right, cool. So like an hour and 10 minutes.
It's funny that you came and did a podcast to the length that you wouldn't listen to it.
Yeah.
Maybe someday, man. We gotta start accumulating these tapes. We'll get some highlights together, because that's the one thing. Somebody should be willing to pay us to do this at some point, because we were clean.
I agree. It's very
natural. I don't think we touched on anything that would get us into trouble with the FCC. There's no bodily fluid talk.
That's right. Until then.
Well,
until just now.
You're allowed to say bodily fluids. You're just not allowed to describe them.
Oh, okay. No, I don't know.
Even then, you could talk about a really nasty sneeze if you wanted.
Why don't we do this? We'll get the mayor on your show.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. You want me to talk to the mayor?
And then we'll get with some of these pro-Cleveland organizations, all right? Whether it be Global Cleveland, whether it be
there are a million
Positively Cleveland. Yeah, there are a lot of them. And we will see if somebody wants to pony up some money. Or perhaps a couple of them will together. Okay?
Maybe we should just pitch the auto dealerships. It seems like Sports Radio just does that.
That's also a really good idea.
I think we're ruining by putting the pitch on the actual podcast. I think we're ruining our business meeting.
No, we're not. That's why our show is different. Okay? Because we're going to just be very upfront about things.
All right. Well, then I'm just going to ask you, how much money do you need to do it? No, I'm kidding. Don't answer.
I don't know. I need. What's my rent?
What's my time commitment? Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think it's a good idea. The auto dealership. That's a good idea. My wheels are turning.
All right, and that's where we're gonna end it.
Actually, let's do that and get. I would really like a free car, on a lease, free lease.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
But
and I'll give them mine as a trade-in for free. I just put new tires on it last week.
Then it's the worst time to trade it in. You're going to keep that Montero going forever, huh?
I hope not. That's why I'm trying to work this out. Come
do
on.
Still have, do you still have California plates?
Yeah.
And you're still not buying insurance for me?
No, I have Geico.
It's okay. I'm just,
come on. If you can beat Geico, I'll do it.
Thank you so much for that.
End the podcast.
Oh, all right. This has been the WaitingForNextYear.com podcast.
Waiting for next year.